Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
Against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast, episode 13, I believe. I'm Nick Engvall. Yes, and we're a little shorthanded today. Mike's got some stuff to deal with, but I'm here with my guy Robbie. Robbie, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Howdy diddly, everybody. Chilling out here with Nick. Going to have fun-filled conversation about some of our favorite topics.
So shout out to Jazzy Fresh 1102 for leaving us a review on iTunes. I definitely appreciate you guys taking the time to leave us a review. It helps us reach more people, helps us know if we're doing things that you like. And if you do have 30 seconds to drop us a review, definitely do that. And let us know on social, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you like, and we'll give you a shout out there as well. But yeah, we appreciate that. And I think we could just jump into, like, we pretty much got, we got to talking quite a bit about before we started recording about Jordan collaborations. And I think it's an interesting topic to dive into this week because there's so many of them. So I guess, like, I'm going to just throw it to you, Robbie. I saw today in the news, the Travis Scott Lowe's, the potential Supreme Jordan 14 collabs, supposedly two of them. And I guess that it was yesterday or day before where the Pata Air Jordan 7 popped up. And my question is, haven't we seen enough collaborations from Jordan Brand? Is this just oversaturating things? What do you think, man?
Man, I think it's definitely an oversaturation. We tried to go back to like the last couple months of releases and there's just almost too many to count. Like Xbox Ones, for example, like slid through the cracks until like 10 minutes into the conversation. And when you have 10 minutes worth of conversation over a single brand and the people they work with, it kind of dilutes the mystique and kind of the fun of brands working with other people, like general releases and even like quick strikes, the whatever old school terminology you want to use. Those are kind of like the bread and butter. And when you throw in kind of mass produced, I mean, I think a lot of them are mass produced, so that you wouldn't still see like social status sixes laying around if they weren't really, really mass produced.
Yeah, I agree.
But you have this, an oversaturation of all these collaborative footwears, and it's just really bringing down the overall quality. You go to like a shoe website like Sneaker History or Nice Kicks and just expect to see news on an Air Jordan collab. It's not out of the ordinary. It's just a Monday, it's a Tuesday, it's a Wednesday. It's just business as usual. And that's not as much fun. Like,
yeah,
I think I way too fast there, but a lot of thoughts.
No, I think it's almost, it used to be a special thing, right? You know, and I remember, you know, you probably remember too, but I'm sure a lot of listeners remember like 2005, I think the undefeated fours, right? It was super limited, only 72 pairs. And it was the first time that, at least I can think of, where there was somebody else involved in creating a pair of Jordans other than, you know, Tinker and Nike and MJ himself.
It was.
And you know, the thought of getting those back then, obviously it was a lot different because there wasn't a bunch of social media stuff. You basically saw stuff on Nike Talk, maybe on the ISS forums, maybe MySpace if you were putting your sneaker stuff on MySpace back then. But what's crazy is it was such a special thing that everybody talked about it. And now, I mean, there's just so many of them where I just feel like it's almost hurting the brand in a lot of ways where, you know, and I don't know, maybe, I guess this is a good question for everybody listening. Is there a danger in having all of these people collaborating with the brand, and, or is it something that is bringing in a younger, potentially collector, sneakerhead, to introduce them to the Jordan brand? Because, you know, at my age, everything about Michael Jordan is nostalgic, and all the shoes to me, you know, that come back with the Nike Air on the back, or, you know, the rumor of the black and red ones coming later this year, all that stuff are the things that excite me about, you know, buying retro Jordans. So I'm wondering if maybe I'm just missing the boat with like the younger generation and their kind of appeal to the brand. Like, is a Jordan 1 only hot because Travis Scott is wearing it? I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the case.
I'm happy you brought up the Undefeated 4, because that's, I mean, I would say the definition of a grail for not like a small percentage of the sneaker community. And the oversaturation of these releases, I think they're trying to just put anything out there with the hopes that it'll garner the same kind of attention or, you know, frenzy as the Undefeated 4. Like, they're doing anything they can to get to that high again. It's like a crackhead. You're trying to get back to that original, like the first time. And the only way that a Jordan collab gets even remotely close to an Undefeated 4 is if it's released on such a small scope and scale that 99% of people will never touch it. And I'm thinking like the Carhartt 4s. Like, that earns as much money, or, you know, garners that much money as an Undefeated, just about. Undefeated still worth more. Or like the Soulfly 1s or Soulfly 3s. Like, those carry the same level of mystique in my book as Undefeated, just because they're so perfectly curated as a collab. But everything else out here that we could realistically get our hands on aren't going to come anywhere near those initial or hyper exclusive Jordan collabs. It's like everybody's Jordan collab, and then like the 1%. It's like US economics.
Yeah.
You know, 1% owns, gets all the really nice things that we will never touch, and the other 99% gets their Vogue collabs, and they get their you know, like Paris Saint Germain collabs, the stuff that you could get anytime you wanted, really. Just, it's quote unquote special because there's an X blank behind the Air Jordan. So,
yeah, it makes me wonder. I mean, we're obviously in a much different time with like sneakers in general. So the nature of the brands to bring in partners to kind of create this hype or limited release stuff, I mean, I don't think that's ever going to go away, and I don't think it should, because on the one hand, it almost always helps the brand sell a product, right? I don't think that, you know, even like you mentioned the social status sixes, right? That particular colorway and story behind that shoe doesn't really resonate as just a Jordan story. But then you pull in somebody who's there in Charlotte to tell that story, and it makes much more sense. And it probably brings in a local, you know, group of people that might not have been really even interested in the Jordan 6, you know, like there's no connection between at least not off the top of my head, that I can think of a performance that MJ had in Charlotte with the Jordan 6. Obviously, he's got ties there, and he's, you know, a North Carolina kid. But what I think is really fascinating is that the brands almost, I don't want to pick on them, but I feel like all brands are kind of in this boat right now, where, similar to what you said, where they're looking to, you know, these external partners, whether that's, you know, a shop, a boutique, an artist, a school, whomever, and rather than bringing creativity to the table on their own, which, you know, they do from time to time, but for the most part, it's a very, like, formulaic, hey, we know we need to bring back this colorway in an original style, or we need to bring back this colorway because it hasn't been out for 10 years. But what I find fascinating is that it feels like all of them are looking for that off-white success where, cool, we hit it big, let's just keep this rolling and do the same thing over and over again on a bunch of different things. And sometimes it works. Sometimes, you know, I think of like the Don C stuff. The original couple of Don C Jordan 1s were super dope, but they were super limited. And then it was like, okay, well, you know, there's Don C Jordan 2s. And clearly Don C got his own shoe. And you know, I don't think he lived up to the level of, you know, Virgil and the off-white stuff, because obviously they're not selling on the secondary market at crazy, you know, amounts. But it is interesting to see that they're trying, or, you know, and I guess in some sense, Don C set that up for Virgil to do, right? Because he was doing collabs with Jordan Brand before, technically before Virgil was. But it's almost like put it on the table, and if it catches fire, then quickly pour some more gasoline on the fire to burn as much as you can. And I feel like that's just like a complete, like, there's no long game play in that approach, in my opinion.
Well, it's like back in the day, let's keep sounding like old timers, but like back in the day, hype was a side effect or a reaction to the shoe. Now it's like the reason why the collab is happening.
Yeah.
It's like roles have been flipped. And that does make it feel just a lot more manufactured. And aren't they kind of just pouring more gas on the Travis Scott right now? Because they're like, okay, the Force has popped off. We can do an Air Jordan 4. Okay, the Air Jordan 4 has popped off. Now let's do a 1. And I don't know who is fooled. Like, that backwards swoosh is not cool to me. It's cool because it's Travis Scott. But if that didn't have Cactus Jack written on the back of it, and you just had a brown Air Jordan 1 with a backward swoosh, what do you think? Like, I think it would be sitting there doing nothing, right?
Yeah. I mean, if it doesn't have Travis Scott behind it, it's dead. I think that there's a lot of artists that have that kind of, I don't know if rebellious is the right word, but have this kind of anti-establishment approach to doing things. And I totally respect that. I love that about most artists. I think that it's weird in the sneaker space. But then now that I'm saying that, I'm thinking about like the Donald Glover stuff. And I think all of those shoes look super dope. So maybe it's just some sort of nostalgia thing for me with Jordans, where I'm like, yeah, like a backwards swoosh doesn't really matter. You know, like I'd rather see somebody, I mean, Travis was wearing a bunch of those like old school SB Dunks for a while. And to me, that's like super dope to see him like pulling things out. Now, if he came out with, you know, an SB Dunk or an SB Dunk Jordan, you know, SB Jordan that had some crazy, you know, backwards swooshes and stuff, I might be a little more into it, because the rebelliousness of Nike skateboarding in general is always a thing, right? Like, I can't remember who, but somebody texted me a screenshot of, I think it was my friend Rob, texted me a screenshot of Nike SB saying that a certain release was going to be available in your local skate shop, or you can catch an L on sneakers. And it's like, you're taking shots basically at the sneakers app of the parent company of your, you know, your brand. But that's Nike SB, right? Like, they play in that, like, no F's given space, so to speak.
It's like kind of what you were saying, like, there, how rebellious can you be with something so processed as footwear?
Yeah.
And not just footwear, or like, you know, let's say you're doing a partnership with Pepsi Cola, and it's, you know, how really raunchy can you be? Ultimately, it's a soda that has all these different kind of control groups going through it and getting their inputs. And there's this there's no space for rebellion for these people who operate rebelliously. And like, that's what makes these shoes cool. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be crazy. I'm gonna put this swoosh on backwards, so I don't give a crap. Yep. But at the end of the day, you're putting that swoosh on backwards to make other people give a crap, to then give a company money. So it's just like, it's like watching the sausage be made. It's like, you don't want to know what goes into the process, like what's really in that casing. You just know you like the tasty sausage at the end. So it's, yeah, like,
that's a great analogy. Yeah. I think too, like, you know, some of that like rebelliousness, you know, just doesn't, you know, vibe with Jordans, right? I mean, Supreme, not to pick on Supreme, but I just feel like that brand is so different than what it used to be. And everything that it stands for, don't get me wrong, they do some stuff where you're just like, how do they get away with saying that stuff on a t-shirt or a hat, or, you know, just like the, like, no care about who they offend. And I totally respect that, and that's one of the things I love about that brand is their ability to just stay in this, like, kind of like rebellious teenager mindset. And I admire that. Like, I hope that I can do the same, because I feel like that's where a lot of growth happens, you know, for human beings. But that's a little too philosophical. But looking at, like, the Jordan 5 set that they did, you know, it was like, okay, whatever. It was cool to see the camo on a 5, but the other two, it's like, all right, you added the Supreme logo, and that's just the formula now. And I can't remember the last Supreme shoes that I was really excited about. And I can't imagine, like, I'm sort of a fan of the 14. I wouldn't say that it's, like, you know, it's probably not even top 10 shoe for me, but I like it a lot. But I can't see Supreme doing anything with it that makes me think, wow, I need to get those.
Man, it's so, like, you got me thinking, what is a daring Jordan collab? And I would even say, like, the Levi Jordan one, like the old, old school, I think it's 2008, maybe even earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, that was rebellious, just to be like, okay, we're going to use a completely different material. We're going to take your elephant print and mess it up in a good way. We're going to flip it around, and we're going to make it, like, it's just, it was so different that it felt adventurous. And now it's like, let's, like you were saying, let's just put a set color scheme, or put like the Supreme logo on it, or it's just, it's not like how it used to be, man. It's really not. Like, the Levi 4s kind of got close, or even hit that kind of level, mm-hmm, where it was something so different. Yet, you know, I think it's important that a collaboration speaks to both parties in the collab. Like, the Levi's, obviously it's denim,
yeah,
but they look like a pair of Levi's on shoes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, one that didn't so much do that, like the Clot 13 Lows. Like, okay, why is there bricks on here? Like, why are there, like, why did you choose this color scheme of, like, neutral browns and grays? Like, you shouldn't have to explain a shoe to me. I should be able to look at the collab and just instantly get, oh, this is what you're going for. This is who you're working with.
Yeah.
Like the Union, they did a good job. If you know Union, that's kind of their aesthetic, like a little deconstructed, something a little different, a little tweak to the norm. So that one hit, but so many out there just, they don't. Like, you have to tell me, if you take that Pata branding off the midsole, that Jordan 7, there's no way in hell you know that's a Pata shoe.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
It's just, yeah.
And sometimes that works, right? I would say that the clot, the other clot, Jordan 13, right? The black and infrared, that's just a colorway that I think should be on more Jordans. If you're gonna like mix and match and like move the colorways from one silhouette to another, that's a pretty good colorway to kind of try on different models, right? I mean, I don't know that Jordan did it right with like the whatever that infrared 23 Jordan 3 was, but black and infrared is a pretty dope combination to me, and it's a wearable combination for a lot of people. And I think that was interesting, but like you said, it doesn't have any ties to the brand, you know, to both sides, right? I don't see any appeal to the clot fans specifically, other than, you know, they made a dope colorway out of the shoe. But one thing I was thinking about too, as we were talking about this, it's kind of crazy that you haven't seen more, I don't know what you would call it, but I'm thinking of like the Dave White Jordan ones, with all the like,
almost
like,
Wings of the Future.
Yeah, Wings of the Future, like the splatter, the different uses of materials. That to me was like pretty, no swoosh too, like pretty almost, I guess, aggressive or like over the top for collaborations. And yet, haven't really seen a whole lot of people take it that far with their Jordan collabs.
I remember seeing those Dave Whites for like a couple weeks after they dropped, and people really weren't hitting on them.
Yeah, but. Yeah, me too. So I guess I'll just ask you and listeners, if Jordan can't talk at all right now, if Jordan Brand gave you a collab, would you play it safe, or would you go all out and do something, you know, just crazy with the design?
No, man, I'm going crazy. I'm going like something stupid, like American flag, like red, white, and blue, but just instead of the white, make it lime green. I don't know why it's the first thing I thought of.
That's pretty like, wild.
Right? But I guess the Dave White got me thinking about American flag. But just, yeah, I would go so far into left field, but left field within my brand. Like Robbie's brand, like I think me as a human being is kind of out there in particular and kind of like an acquired taste. So I would want my Jordans to kind of be particular and for an acquired taste. Like I don't want them, I'm not just for anybody. So I wouldn't want my shoes to be either. So listeners, what do you think? Are you going to go for something like really, really in line, kind of, you know, I would almost say akin to like the PSG 5s that just came out, the black metallics. Like that's so insanely safe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are you taking it, listener? Where are you taking it, Nick? Are you going to stay close to home, or are you going to go aggressive?
So I don't know if this is close to home or aggressive or both, but after I saw, and I hope this is true, pictures of the SB Jordan 1, the Lakers colorway, and apparently like it all rubs away to become like the traditional Chicago colorway.
Yeah.
That to me is bananas. I think that I would love to be able to do something like that. That's, you know, take your two favorite teams. Like I would love to do like, you know, shatter backboard type Jordan 1 that, you know, maybe morphs into or do like a Bay Area version that like one shoe starts as a Oakland A's themed colorway. The other starts as a San Francisco Giants themed colorway, and you can wear one shoe down to make the matching pair. I think that'd be super dope. Something like that would be, that's probably where I would go with it.
Would that be cool? Like, I know the picture you're talking about, and the guy like completely used like rubbing alcohol,
yeah,
and Q-tip, and like stripped that bad boy. Like, I think that kind of crapped on the collab a little bit. This is like, man, if you want a pair of Chi-Towns that bad, go get a pair of Chi-Towns.
Yeah.
But the
concept is killer. Yeah.
Like Cheech and Chong's, for example, like, we talked about 420 shoes last week a little bit. Like, that's such a cool concept of how it goes from like white kind of bandana-y material to like straight up weed green underneath. And you get that authentic random stripe of it from like accidentally brushing up against a door. And like, that's so cool how you can have a pair of Laker shoes on and some fool like scuffs your shoe really bad. But instead of it being like black, it's like a nice little red for, you know, eventually it'll turn into Chicago. Like, the concept's cool, but man, that guy just doo-dooed on that shoe. And that made me angry, like visibly angry while I was scrolling through Instagram. Like, man, how could you? Why are you so stupid? Like Jackie Chan meme style. But
yeah, I also feel like, and this kind of goes into like the other stuff we were going to talk about, but I also feel like with something like that, yeah, you might want the Chicago, you know, Jordan 1s, but all those regular colorways, not that I don't love them, but they all kind of come back, right? We're going to see, you know, black and red Jordan 1s later this year. There's another Carolina Jordan 1 combo, you know, non-patent coming out in August, I think is what I saw. And I just feel like those shoes, it's almost like a default, right? At this point, give us like 5 OG Jordans, have them on in the stores. Let us just walk into a Foot Locker and pick them up. And, you know, obviously Carolina, Chicago, the traditional colorways that Michael wore and has connections to are going to appeal to like the new kids that want the colors, and they're going to appeal to the old heads that have the nostalgic memories of MJ. And it seems like we're almost to that point where, you know, like, why does the mid exist? Like,
yeah, right. Let it go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not different enough to really make a difference, right? Okay, yeah, you put the Jumpman on there and you want the Jumpman branding, but like at this point, everyone, not maybe not everyone, but probably 70 to 80% of the world that is even wearing sneakers recognizes an Air Jordan 1. It has nothing to do with a Jumpman on the tongue or on the heel. It's just a recognizable shoe.
You know that shoe.
Yeah, that's how I think. I mean, maybe that's like the you know, self-indulgent sneakerhead in me that thinks that everybody pays attention to similar stuff. But I just feel like Jordan brand has such a presence everywhere you go. You probably can't go. It'll be interesting. I'm going to think about this tomorrow. I don't think I could go a day anywhere in Los Angeles without seeing multiple people wearing Jordan 1s. And I'm sure you being in Portland probably see plenty of people wearing Jordan 1s on a regular basis.
All day. Actually, really, really quick aside, speaking of stuff you see on the streets in Portland, I saw somebody rocking the Supreme Tailwind 4s in 2 different colorways at the same time. So not only did they mix match, which is something we talked about, but they were actually wearing them. And in person, they looked a lot cooler. It looked dumb wearing 2 different colors. It was like the black and purple and the white and red, or like black and blue, whatever it was. But I saw those on the streets. But I think we brought up the point of the frequency in which we would like to see some, let's call it heritage shoes. Like, I would consider the Jordan 1 bread, like, that's straight up heritage of the brand.
Yeah.
Those should be available all the time. Especially, I think, to this year's Bred 12, Bred 11. And I have my pair of 2012s that have scuffs on them. They're definitely worn. There's creases in them. But they're not so effed up that I necessitate another pair. But the sneaker crackhead in me says, I don't know when I'll see another pair of 12s in the next 4 to 7 years. Oh, I keep saying 12s. Another pair of 11s, getting all this mixed up. None of us can talk today. I keep getting like anxiety about not being able to replace the pair I have now 4 years down the line. So I'm going to buy a pair 4 years early just to be ready.
Yep.
When it should just be available 3 years from now on a Tuesday when I want to go buy them. But that kind of goes to the collab. We're going to come full circle. The same reason why they drop so many collabs is the same reason why you'll never see a Bread 1 or 11 on a Tuesday afternoon, because they want those to feel like special things as they're subsequently forcing them down your throat.
Yep. Yep. So I guess like that's kind of the next two questions. We kind of got into it before we started talking, but this makes me wonder too, like what collabs are out there potentially that should happen? I would love to know from, you know, those of you that are listening, like what you think a crazy, like, you know, collaboration with the Jordan, like what brand or what company would you love to see do something with Jordan brand? And then what we wanted to talk about a little bit too was like, how do you consider, what makes a collaboration? Because you see stuff where obviously you'll have, you know, a DJ Khaled Jordan 3, and it's got his We the Best on the back. And, you know, you've got Travis Scott with his Cactus Jack stuff. But where do the shoes like the Oregon Ducks 3, Oregon Ducks 5s, those kind of things come in? Would you consider those collaborations? Like, what really is, like, the defining factor of a collaboration? Robbie, you had some interesting thoughts on it, so I'm going to let you share some. But
yeah, I mean, I think of it as payroll, and then I started to contradict myself quickly, because like Oregon, Michigan, Florida, all these power athletic programs, they're on Jordan's payroll year round. So are they collabs when you see an Oregon 3, or is it just a product for the people they're paying, like a bonus, like, but you get a pair of shoes instead? Like, we're never really supposed to touch them. So I think those are teetering more towards perks of being underneath the brand umbrella than being a collab. But at the same time, as these collaborators come in and out of working with Jordan, they're on the payroll at some point too. Like, they have some kind of contractual agreement to not be wearing Adidas or something. So for a short period of time, the collab is kind of just, you are a pseudo employee of Jordan brand for a little bit. So that kind of contradicts it. But where things are going now a lot more are like designer collaborations. So like Virgil, yeah, it's an Off-White, which is a brand, so that's a collab. But when a designer like Virgil or Don C, or even, oh, I just had it in the back of my head, it's not a Jordan collab, John Elliott, all these different people, like, they're more of like a cameo on an established product than a full-on collab. Like, Virgil was more a short-term, like, designer of Jordan and Nike than somebody just slapping their name on it. Like, I think he had more of a stake in it than maybe some other collaborators.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
Yeah. It's definitely like a very like gray area. I like the idea of, you said something about, you know, the shoes that we have access to or potentially have access to. And I think that's kind of like, you know, my two things would be like, if a person actually got to work with Jordan brand, Nike, whomever, to create the colors, and there was an intent to at least give the public some sort of shot at having that, right? Because one of the things that you mentioned that makes it feel like it's just a private like gift of the, you know, brand to the schools, if nobody can actually get that without getting it through, I mean, like some form of traditional channels, I guess, because obviously people have relationships and they have friends at the brand that can hook them up and send them a pair, or they have friends at the school and they get a pair somehow. But I think to me, the fairest way to kind of define it would be saying that the person worked on the colorways, right? Or the brand, whomever, not necessarily a person. And there was some intent to make it an actual release, whether that's one-off and a charity event or something like the Dornbecker series, or, you know, full-on, full-blown release like Travis Scott or something like that. But it's really interesting to me to think about that, and kind of just want to know, like, if you're listening, what do you think about it? Like, what is an actual collaboration in your mind? Because there's also the, like, gray area that we haven't really talked about, where not necessarily with Jordan so much, because a lot of people want to put their name on it, but there's plenty of times where, you know, I think of like Clark Kent and some of the colorways that he did over the years, and Jeff Staple and the colorways that, you know, Jeff Staple, well, not even Jeff Staple, Staple Design did before Staple was a brand. He was doing, you know, like consulting work and colorways for Nike. And those shoes aren't listed as Staple collabs, but they absolutely have, you know, his touch on them, which makes it an even more of an interesting conversation or an interesting question. So, just let us know what you think. If you, how would you define what a sneaker collab is? Why don't you, like, leave us a comment on Instagram or tweet us at Sneaker History.
I got one last little half thought about it. Thinking about schools, like the Neymar Jordan 5s, or like, and I'm having a hard time calling that, like, obviously I'm also struggling with another word to call it other than collab, but I would almost call that like a borrowing of somebody, because, and that makes it like Nike owns Neymar, which isn't at all what I'm saying, but like, you have a commodity, let's just kind of transition it internally, throw a Jumpman on it, and then we'll slide them back over to you. Like that. Yeah. I'm going to expand on that and come back to everybody on the next episode of what I think more, but I don't want to call stuff like the Neymar release or like the Federer 3s. Like, they're not Federer 3s. They're technically Nikes. They're Vapor Courts, I believe.
Yeah.
Just that look like 3s, but those kind of athlete collabs don't feel like collabs to me. I feel just like more of a partnership, which I guess is just a synonym for collaboration. So I'm going in a circle now. But I don't like that.
No,
I don't like that whole column. That
I think myself and a lot of people would agree with you, though. You know, there's certain things. Don't get me wrong. I think it was dope to see the Federer stuff. Was really dope to see. I thought those shoes were all pretty well done.
Super.
The Neymar stuff, I think, was super dope too. If you're a fan of him, or if you're a fan of Federer, I think those types of things are really dope, but I do 100% agree. It doesn't really feel like a collaboration. It feels more like, let me just turn this court shoe into a shoe that people are going to wear off the court or off the pitch, and let the consumers have something that they can show their support for as being a fan of the athlete. And it definitely didn't feel like the athletes in those particular instances had much to do with the creation of the shoes, because it was just such an easy transfer these colors, transfer these patterns and themes to a basketball shoe, or, you know, basketball to tennis, vice versa. Yeah,
man. Who knows? Is the Tinker 3 a collab? Are Tinker joints collabs or no? Because, well, he made the shoe.
Like, yeah. Well, that's a really interesting one, because the boxes say Tinker on them, right? Which, you know, it distinguishes that it's going to have a swoosh on the Jordan 3, but it's really not like a Tinker thing. And I would doubt that he was even involved in the process of making that shoe, because it was probably like, hey, here's your old sketches. Oh man, we should throw a swoosh on the side. It's not like Tinker had to get involved to do that. That's like a very entry level design person. That's just, no picking on whoever had to do that, but, like, you know, it's like, I could do that in Photoshop or in, you know, Adobe Premiere or Adobe Illustrator if I needed to. And I'm not like a designer by any means, but I could definitely take an old sketch and turn it into, hey, we should do something like this. So I don't see that as a collab, but it is interesting because they do put his name on the box. So,
and it's like Tinker Hatfield X Jordan 3, kind of like, it's like the Tinker. It's very interesting.
Well, and then even a step further in that direction, if you look at the Justin Timberlake stuff, it's like, well, there's nothing really Justin Timberlake about it, is there? Other than it says JTH on the. I mean, he threw colors on or whatever, but that wasn't him necessarily. It was somebody that says, oh, you're doing these color themes on your album. Why don't we make you a, you know, beige colored Jordan 3?
Sold.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting stuff. I mean, collabs in general, like, have gotten so blurry in terms of what they actually are and where they're headed, because it's like a free for all to try to get as much money coming in and as much hype going as the brands can across the board. So
here's a rabbit hole. I try to get away from this question, but Spike Lee, is every Jordan 4 and 5 a collaboration because of the commercials? I'm trying to be funny. I'm not serious, but like,
yeah, that's an even more interesting thing, because right, like Spike Lee has the Spiz Ike and the Son of Mars and all that stuff. But those just look like, I mean, you probably could have seen those on fake sneaker sites 15 years ago and just said, oh, that's kind of cool. Let me make it. I mean, I honestly, as messed up as it sounds, like, I feel like the Jordan 6 rings and the Dub Zero are just like exactly that. I just feel like Jordan Brand found some cool, quote, cool design on a knockoff site and was like, hey, we could actually make this and people would actually buy it. But that's a whole different rabbit hole that we probably shouldn't go down.
Yeah, cutting it off. Cutting the umbilical cord. My friend had a baby, so we're cutting that umbilical cord, and we are walking away from this collaborative baby.
Yep. So before we get out of here, I think we both had some pretty interesting choices for a pick of the week. I'll let you go ahead and start it off.
I'm going to throw a wrench in what you just said. So you're going to have we're going to split two that we both like. I'm going to digress from my initial pick. And I've been having like really weird feelings, kind of like I have a crush on somebody over the 700 Yeezy analogs. And like,
okay,
I really like that shoe. And it's like the Nike person in me is like, man, don't do it. You don't like them. It's infatuation. It's the color. Because I like how they're not white, but they're white.
Yeah.
And the more I see them, I just saw on Instagram, Matt Welty unboxed his free pair he got from Adidas. And I got salty at Welty for it. And just looking at them in hand, every time I see them, I fall in love a little more. Like, I really, really like that shoe, but I'm also really not inclined to pay $300 when I can get a host of other things for way cheaper than that. So, yeah. If anybody has a pick, let me know. But I'm switching my pick up to the gorgeous analog white Yeezy 700s.
I think that's a good pick, and I 100% agree. The price point of them is the only thing that keeps me away from them. I think all of those 700s are pretty nice. But, I guess I'm kind of in this summer basketball mode mentally, and the first pick that I was going to go with, is the Atmos LeBron 16 Clear Jade, inspired by the Atmos Air Max 1, that I just think it's super dope. I don't know if I would actually wear it very often, but I feel like some old school, like Hornets, you know, Mitchell and Ness shorts, somehow tie that together. It would be a pretty dope shoe to have. And then the other one that we were going to talk about as a pick this week, we just saw that John Elliott and LeBron are bringing back the Icon, which, you know, he did, what did he do, two or three colorways? And now there's two or three more coming. So I think that's probably the best basketball lifestyle shoe that's out right now, or in the last maybe 3-4 years even.
Ever. When was the last time you saw a performance shoe transitioned or switched into a lifestyle shoe that wasn't corny. It's hard to find people. I'll answer that redundantly. KD6, don't do that. there's been a couple misses, and
yeah,
it's just, you took the perfect tooling of the LeBron 8. If you've never worn a pair of LeBron 8s, that Air Max bubble is flawless, and just elevated it to the nth degree. So
yeah,
tip of the hat.
And I think too, like, even on going a little bit further, like the fact that John Elliott's bringing in like kind of the, I don't know if it's going to technically be Volt, but it's very close to Volt. And then like a black and gray version, it's just like classic Nike in my mind. So yeah. And to second Robbie's thoughts on the cushioning on that shoe, the LeBron 8 is, I don't know, even the seven and the eight are both up there, like top 10. And as far as just like a comfortable, like lounge around, you know, beater shoe. So if you haven't tried them, I definitely suggest it too.
It's one in a million feel. And I always say, oh, the eight's my favorite, or nah, the LeBron 3, or like, I don't have a favorite, but the 8 is definitely top 3 looks, but like top 1 or 2 when it comes to that comfort. It's bananas. Yeah. But we digress. On that note, I think we're going to let everybody go enjoy the rest of their time. Whatever time you're listening to this, I said that really abstractly. I don't know when you're listening, but ideally you are listening. So we appreciate you. Again, my name is Robbie Falke, and you can find me on Sneaker History and other forums on the internet underneath the handle RAHBEE702. Nick, where can they find you?
At Nick Engvall, NICKENGVALL on all platforms. And more importantly, you guys can follow us at Sneaker History on all platforms. And yeah, thanks for taking the time to listen to us whenever you actually are listening to us. And we'll catch you next time. Peace.
If you follow us on Sneaker History, I will stop following you home. On this. I'm sorry.
Leave this part out of the review. If you leave a review on iTunes, no, go ahead. You can talk all the trash that you want, wherever you need to talk trash to us, at us. And I'll stop following you home too. All right, we'll catch you next time. Peace. Hey, what up guys? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I just want to let you know a couple things we're working on here at Sneaker History. We're about to start a weekly newsletter to share some of the things that we find from around the web that's interesting, entertaining, newsworthy stuff. And instead of putting it all on social, maybe it's not worth posting on the blog, but we wanted it to just be on your radar. So it's kind of like a compilation of our favorite things from the week. And we'll be sending that out on Sundays just to make sure that you have the news from the previous week and maybe some news about the upcoming week in terms of releases, you know, changes in release dates, etc. You can sign up for that now at sneakerhistory.com. The second thing is that we finally launched a web store to sell some Sneaker History merchandise. So far, we've got some tees, stickers, coffee mugs, and some other goods in the works. And the money we make from this will go to pay for hosting and production of things like this podcast. You can find that on the top right menu of our website. If you do cop some merch, be sure to tag us in your social posts so we can repost. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.